1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Main lesson we're taking with us this morning: authentic Christian leaders are trained on the Word of God. They focus on the Word of God, educate themselves on the Word of God in order to help the church family mature in their faith. Now, since we've begun studying chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, we've learned a few things, a few lessons about authentic Christian leadership. And first of all, we learned this, that authentic Christian leadership is trained on God's message. That's what they have to preach, verses 1 through 6. And that's 6, that's what they have to teach. And then in point number 2, we saw that authentic Christian leadership is tender like a nursing mother in verses 2:7-8. And this morning, we learned that authentic Christian leadership is not just tender like a nursing mother, but they're tough like a father who charges their children. Point number three. Now, there's some lessons in there that we're going to look at. I'd like to begin with a story. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoy watching what I call good movies anyway. And I'm sort of a movie fiend. And some of the movies that I like have to do with World War II. And while Alice and I were on vacation, we watched a movie with Matthew McConaughey in it, and he played the role of a submarine naval officer named Lieutenant Andrew Tyler. And again, this was during World War II. And the movie was titled The Letter U, 571, after the German U-boats, 571. And although this is a fictitious story, it is historical fiction. And so we know there were real German U-boats, and they had this cipher machine, the Enigma or something like that, where the Allied forces were trying to decipher that code. And so a U-boat, 571, was captured, and so Matthew McConaughey and a team were assigned to go get that Enigma machine from there. So that's sort of a part of the movie, but in that movie, he had applied to get his own submarine to captain it, but his superior officer, Lieutenant Commander Mike Dahlgren, who was played by Bill Paxton, was the skipper of the USS S-33. He blocked Lieutenant Tyler's request to command his own submarine. And when confronted by Lieutenant Tyler, Captain Dahlgren explained his decision with these words. He said, "You've got to be able to make hard decisions based on imperfect information, asking men to carry out orders that may result in their deaths. And if you're wrong, you suffer the consequences. If you're not prepared to make those decisions, those tough decisions, without pause, without reflection, then you've got no business being a submarine captain." In the heat of the battle, the lieutenant commander said, basically, "You can't be tender. You have to be tough no matter what." And in the same way, there are times when an authentic Christian leader, a pastor, a leader of any sort in the church, they have to be tough, making tough decisions that may not be liked and may not be considered nice, but are kind nonetheless. And Paul uses the example of a father speaking tough words of challenge to his children. So not only does a pastor have to be tender like a nursing mother, but he also has to be tough like a father who challenges his children, speaking sometimes not nice words, but kind words. So look with me at these verses, verses 9 through 12 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Whose kid is that? Oh, we just love grandbabies. Truly do. Verse 9 goes this way. "For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God." Verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. Verse 11. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your leadership. We're grateful for the leadership of your Son, Jesus Christ, to his bride, the church. And Lord, we know that our part in all of this is to submit, as a wife is to submit to her loving husband. And so, Father, give us hearts that we will submit, even when it's not what we want to do, even when it's not easy, even when it's not nice of you to ask us to do it, but it sure is kind. Father, help us to always submit to you because we're your children. Son, help us to submit to you because we're your bride. And Holy Spirit, help us to submit to you because you lead us in paths of righteousness. And Father, the church is called to submit to pastoral leadership as well in your word. And so, Father, help me to be tender when I need to be and tough when I need to be. And Lord, just give us ears to hear today, eyes to see, and a taste for this, the treasure of your holy word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen. Now, as I've already reminded you, Paul was like a nursing mother to the church members of Thessalonica, and now he's comparing himself to a father to his children with the members of the church of Thessalonica. And so Paul uses simile to teach us how authentic Christian leadership leads. Verse 11 says, For you know how, like a father with his children. He's using that simile, that comparison. So Paul had become a spiritual father through the gospel. And he even says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. So let me point out three ways Paul was like a father, a spiritual father to his spiritual children. First of all, we see this, that in verse 9, he was a spiritual father to them in his work. And so was Silas as well, and the other gentleman. Verse 9 says, For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. So Paul was a hard-working man. Not only was he a hard-working man doing secular work, but he was also a hard-working man doing ministry work as well. The Bible says he labored and he toiled and he worked both night and day. I know you're very familiar with this because you're hard-working people too. And you know what it takes, don't you, as hard-working people. Now, you also know what it takes in ministry. It takes a hard worker to work hard in the ministry. And Paul was such a leader. And I believe for Paul that it was a labor of love. And that's why he worked so hard. But never think, church family, never think that ministry work is easy. I think we get lulled into that kind of thinking sometimes when we volunteer to serve in different capacities within the church. And all of a sudden, the job that we have is inconvenient to us because of something else going on. Ministry work is good, amen, but it can be hard as well. And sometimes you have to toil and labor working night and day. But it's good work. Amen? Amen. You know, it was good work for Paul then, and it's good work for church leaders today. You know, you guys come to church on Sunday. Some of you come on Wednesday nights. You may go home and may never think again about church. You might be busy, you get busy doing other things, and church doesn't cross your mind ever again until you're getting ready to jump in the car and come to church on Sunday morning. But I can honestly say that's not true for me. That's not true for most pastors. I think Ron would agree with that, and Kathy too. Those who have been in the ministry and make their living by the ministry, there's not one time during a day of the year that church is not something that you think about. You consider it all the time. You take it home. And I know some of you guys take your work home with you as well. But you take church with you everywhere you go. You don't stop thinking about it when you're on vacation. You don't stop thinking about it when you're on the weekends and you're out there doing whatever you're doing. Church is something that a pastor labors and toils at day in and day out, both night and day. And that's what we do. That's what we're called to do as spiritual leaders of the church, to labor and toil night and day. And here Paul tells us why they labored night and day. This is what he said, that we might not be a burden to any of you. You know, Paul did spiritual work, and he also did secular work. He was what? A tent maker. He was a tent maker. That's what he did. We could say that he was bivocational. He did both. He worked in the secular world and he worked in the ministry world. He built tents on the side in order to secure his keep, to pay for his keep, to pay for his food, his clothing, whatever else he needed. And he didn't expect the Thessalonican Christians to do that for him. He didn't expect them to shelter him. He didn't expect them to clothe him or to feed him. Now, let me ask this question, though. Did he have a right to expect that? Yes, he did. He had a right to expect that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you." Verse 9, "It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example of a hard worker." So Paul says he had a right to that. Paul had a right to expect some kind of compensation, but he chose not to take it in order to show these Christians a godly example of being a hard worker and supporting themselves. And later in Thessalonians, the letter to Thessalonians, he will say, if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, that brings us to the question, should a pastor be compensated for the work? And what's the answer to that? Absolutely. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14, "In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, "Let the elders or pastors who rule well," that is, rule the church well, "be considered worthy of double honor." And that Greek translation is speaking about being paid well, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Now, Paul had that right, but he didn't take that right. And I believe it's because it was a young church. It was new church. They didn't have the finances as a established church might have. So how did Paul make ends meet? Well, as we know, he was a tent maker, and he also received financial help from the Philippian church as well. Philippians 4:16 tells us that. And so he had this other church helping him financially, and he was also a hard-working man at tent making. So, an authentic Christian leader is the example to his spiritual children of a hard worker. Not only that, not only is Paul a spiritual father to them in how he worked, but he's also a spiritual father to them in his walk. So look at verse 10. Point number B is this. He was a spiritual father to them in his walk. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. Paul is telling them how he walked spiritually. One of the many tasks fathers have is to be a godly example to their family. One of the tasks that a church leader has is to be a godly example to their spiritual children. That's just the bottom line. The Thessalonian brothers and sisters had witnessed Paul's godly way of living, his godly walk. They witnessed his godly co-laborers walk as well. They watched him walk godly as a secular worker and as a man who worked in the ministry. And the good news is they couldn't lodge one deficient mark against any of these men. Paul also invokes God as a witness of their godly walk. Not only were they a witness of his godly walk and could not render any deficient mark, but he says, God is my witness as well to my godly walk. Their walk was impeccable, both in the secular world and in the spiritual world. Impeccable. Now, how does Paul describe his spiritual walk that he walked before his spiritual children? Verse 10 tells us, how did he walk? He was holy and righteous and blameless. That's how he walked before them. So what does it mean that Paul was a holy man? Just this, that is a man who carefully fulfills the duties that God gives him. How does a righteous man walk? How was he righteous? Well, this Greek word translated righteous speaks of a man's integrity. He was a man full of integrity. And then Paul was a blameless man. And that's to say that no one could find fault in him or lay a legitimate charge against him. So he was righteous, blameless, and holy. Church family, I can say to you this morning, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, God's still working on me. God's still working on me. I'm still at the point where I tell my kids, do as I say, not as I do. God is still working on me as your spiritual father. But hear me. I may not always have the walk that I should, but I believe what God's word says about the walk that I should have. And I strive for that daily. And so should every authentic Christian leader. We should all strive to live a holy, righteous, blameless life before others and before God. And so here's the prayer of what I would say an authentic church leader prays. Lord, help me live a life that's worthy of your call. So he was a witness to them in his walk. And thirdly, we see that he was a spiritual father to them in his words. Look at verses 11 through 12 with me. For you know how, like a father with his children, number one, he used his words to exhort them. He exhorted each one of you, and he used his words to encourage each one of you, and he used his words to charge each one of you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Paul didn't mince words, ever. He never minced words with his church family. He was tender like a nursing mother when he needed to be, but he was also tough like a father challenging his children when he needed to be. And he spoke these words out of love for his spiritual children. Paul was a spiritual father to the church members of Thessalonica, He could speak the tough truths of God's word to them because they knew how much he loved them. He exhorted them, the Bible tells us. This Greek word, listen to it, translated exhort, parakaleo. And that word reminds us of the noun parakletos. And that is a title for whom? The Holy Spirit. And it means one who comes alongside. The Holy Spirit was promised by the Son that when He left, the Spirit would come, and the Spirit would come alongside us and guide us and be a friend and educate us. And so the pastor uses his words as he comes along beside his spiritual children to guide them and correct them, to encourage them as he comes along beside them. And I think that's an important part of this. A pastor is not an absentee spiritual father. He's in the midst of his family as they come along with him and come beside him. He speaks words of truth to them and exhorts them to live a life that's worthy of God. A pastor comes along also and does the same thing with his flock. He gives them encouragement, those gentle, encouraging words and those tough, encouraging words. And so the idea here is that whatever the flock needs, whether a tough word of exhortation or a tender word of encouragement, the pastor comes alongside them, spiritual leaders comes alongside their spiritual flock to help them in order to be holy and blameless and righteous before God and before the world. And so Paul came alongside them. He exhorted them and he encouraged them. The Bible says this, he also charged them. He charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. This word translated from the Greek charge, martyromai, is where we get the English noun form, martyr. That's where that word comes from. And in the Greek, it means to bear witness to or to testify to. And so Dr. McGee explains this word a little bit better than I do. He states that the Greek word translated charged has a note of severity to it. It involves discipline. It is a viral word, a robust word. It is a firm word and a masculine word. He says, I'm afraid that we find a lot of sissy preaching in our pulpits today. Now, if y'all know anything about J. Vernon McGee, he preached what in the 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe in the 80s some, but he's been gone to be with the Lord for a long time. And what he says here, I think it's perfect for the church today as well. He says, now again, he says, I'm afraid that we find a lot of sissy preaching in our pulpits today. The popular thing is to have a little sermonette given by a preacherette to Christianettes. There is so little urgency in the message. Someone has defined the average church service in a liberal church, and it's amazing how he prophesied, as when a mild-mannered man gets up before a group of mild-mannered people and urges them to be more mild-mannered. Oh, he says, that is sickening, my friend. And so that's a little taste of what this word charge means. Sometimes you have to speak tough words to your kids, don't you? And why do you do it? Because you love them. That's why. And sometimes a pastor has to speak tough words of challenge to his church family as well. And a Sunday school teacher, same thing. So Paul's charge was a tough word of warning to his brothers and sisters that weren't walking in a manner worthy of God's calling. Paul's charging them in one sense also to be bold, and they're testifying and witnessing to their world. Almost like saying, don't back down, don't walk away, but live in this manner worthy of God's call. Every Christian father wants their children to walk in a manner worthy of God. We all do. And so do Christian moms. And that's what authentic Christian leaders want as well. And they get there with their church family by giving them words of exhortation, by giving them words of encouragement, and by charging them with words that may not sound nice, but are really kind. So that's what authentic Christian leaders do. Well, we've finished that part of this study up, what it is to be a church, authentic Christian leadership. And I'd like to close with just a question and a comment this morning, a word of challenge, if you will. How do we walk in a manner worthy of God? Well, Paul says that he walked in holiness, blamelessness, and righteousness. That's true for us today. That's how we walk in a manner worthy of God. We live holy lives, we live righteous lives, and we live blameless lives. Now, notice I didn't use the word perfect in any of that, because none of us will get there this side of heaven. But that doesn't mean we stop trying. Amen? Doesn't mean that. It means when we fall off the horse, what do? We fall to our knees, pray for in repentance, and ask God's forgiveness and for His restoration to righteousness, and we get back on that horse. That's what we do. Now, I want to give you some hard, challenging words from this guy named Jesus when it comes to walking in a manner worthy of God. This is what he said. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And here's the wonderful news. If anyone serves me, Jesus says, the Father will honor him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much that you have given us your word, that we don't have to guess what it is to live a life worthy of your call. And Lord, we thank you that even in those moments and times when we do mess up, we sin and fall short of your glory, you don't cut us out of the family tree. You give us a means to be restored and renewed and revived, if only we'll confess and repent. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen.